Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that it's your glory and your power that defeats the enemy, Lord. God, we thank you that you didn't leave us when you ascended back to heaven, Jesus. You sent your Holy Spirit, your comforter, your sheer power, your presence, your glory to be in us and upon us. And Lord, forgive us for every time we grieved the Holy Spirit, quenched or resisted the Holy Spirit in our lives, God, because we need your glory. We need that anointing. We need that power to destroy the works of the devil. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you teach us how to lay hold upon that, how to pursue getting you to rend the heavens and step down and manifest your glory in the church again and in the community again until there is revival. Well, we pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah, I think we're going to do something a little different today. What makes us different than any other religion on the face of the earth? What makes us different than any other church on the face of the earth? There's all kinds of churches. There's all kinds of dead religions. There's all kinds of demonic false religion in the world. The first thing that makes us different is that we are absolutely positively sure that the Bible is unique to all religious writings that's ever been written. The Bible is absolutely proven to be God's inspired, infallible word. Through archaeology, through history, through prophecy, we've seen it. Really, the most ignorant statement somebody can make is that the Bible is not God's word, or it's full of errors, or all this different stuff that all these so-called intelligent people try to claim. But they show their foolishness, and they show they really just don't know. Matter of fact, I've started to just tell some of them when they comment on Facebook, or I hear them say something, and they try to sound intelligent by saying the Bible is fiction. And I said, you probably, one guy told me recently, he said the Bible fiction, ha ha ha, laughed, you know. I said, you probably believe evolution. Now that's some fiction. But folks, let me tell you right now, you can either be an anointed Christian with the glory of God and the power of God on you and flowing through you, or you can be a dead Christian. Did you know that? And you know what's so bad sometimes is it's hard to tell the difference. Because the dead Christians have a form of godliness. They have a form of Christianity, meaning on the outside it looks like they have Christianity, but he says, but they deny or they reject the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked a lot about that over the last few weeks, but I feel like the Lord wants me to just completely shift gears this morning and talk to you about the importance of obtaining the glory of God in your life and in the church. And when I say the glory of God, see, a lot of people don't even know what you're talking about when you talk about the glory of God. And some people think it's only an Old Testament thing, that the glory of God only appeared, actually manifest and physically in the Old Testament. But how many of you know that that's not the case? The glory of God, I'm talking about the presence and power of God, literally at times became visible to the people of God and even to the wicked in the New Testament. See, this is what I don't get. Listen, folks, if anything, we need to just realize we serve the living God. He is I am. That means he is present now in our presence. He is living. And just because he is, He is alive with glory and with power, and he has a presence that he carries with him. And if you get close enough to him, it rubs off on you. And sometimes if you get close enough, sometimes if you dive in deep enough, sometimes if you press on into it, the glory will become so strong, it'll actually become physical. You'll actually see it in the physical realm, and you'll see it with your eyes, and you'll feel it with your body, not just your spirit, not just your mind, but you will feel the presence and power and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that will shake you and change you. The glory of God, the presence, tangible, manifest, presence of God is what every Christian needs. It's what every church needs. It's what every community needs. But we chase after other things. We sin. You know why the Bible says all have sinned, the Word says, and come short of the glory of God. Sin keeps you from the glory of God. Sin blocks you from having that presence and that power. And sometimes that sin can just be pride or bad attitude or rebellion or laziness. It doesn't have to be lust or drunkenness or pornography. Sometimes it's just the fact that you're lazy. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't hunger and thirst. You don't desire him more than everything else. Don't complain about the pastor, the church, or anybody else if you don't have the glory and the presence of God in your life. That's on you, friend. But I can tell you this, if enough people in a church will get filled and covered and immersed in the glory of God and bring that glory with them when they come to church, the church will be filled with God's glory. This is what, you know what revival is? I love what the old minister who led the Hebrides revival, Duncan Campbell, said. He said, revival is when God steps down from the heavens and truly manifests himself among his people. And folks, this is a New Testament concept. And I want to tell you, we're teetering here on the brink. We're teetering around the veil. You know, I want to share with you, you think this is odd, I'll share with some New Testament scriptures in just a second about this, but just to share with you how important the glory and presence of God, the tangible manifest glory. You know, a few weeks back, right before Christmas, and I don't think Thomas Cole or Katie would have a problem with me sharing that they contacted me, and Thomas had been coming to the Bible study, and he'd been sharing what he was learning with his girlfriend Katie, and they texted me and said, can you come see us? We want to get saved, and we want to do it right. And so they said, we want to get saved, and we want you to show us what we need to do to get saved. So I went to Thomas's apartment right before Christmas, and I sat there and I made sure that they understood what they were doing. I made sure that they understood what it meant to totally surrender your life, to repent and turn from sin, to become a disciple of Jesus, not just say, I believe. And we went through for about 2 hours before I did just play with them. For about 2 hours, we went through the scriptures and we talked about, did they really understand? And we talked about what it meant to be truly reborn again, born of the Spirit, a supernatural experience when you truly make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, when you give up your sin, your rights, your plans, your dreams, your desires, and you completely surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not just him as Savior, but he becomes Lord of your life. Lord means master. It means boss. A lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Well, you can't have him just as Savior. If he's your Lord, he will be your Savior. If you are Lord of your life, he will not be your Savior. Matter of fact, I don't know, you can just check me on this. Look at how many times the Bible calls him Lord versus Savior. It's unbelievable. But we talked about that, and what was powerful is, as I shared with them, I asked them, okay, I said, are you guys ready to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, and you're going to give up your life and your sins and your own plans, and you're going to give your life to him? And they said, we're ready to pray. Now, we prayed. I led them in a prayer because the Bible does say, for with the mouth, right, with the heart man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to confess it, the Lord Jesus. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You have to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth and repent and turn from your sin and your life. So I led them in prayer, and after I led them in prayer, I could see Katie, just tears running down her face, dripping on the... And I said, just keep your head bowed, because I want to get up and I want to come over and lay hands on you. And the presence of God came in that room. The glory of God came in that room so strong. And I walked around and I laid hands on both of them and I prayed for both of them, that God would touch them, reveal himself to them, and God would become real in their life. And I don't know what all I prayed, but when I walked back around to the other side of the coffee table and sat down in the chair where I'd been sitting, Katie looks up with tears running down her face, because she never felt anything like what she was feeling. Thomas looked up and said, I feel so much present here. He said, I just feel like I'm drunk. He said, and then they both said that they saw this light around me. And they didn't tell each other. Well, Thomas said it, but Katie didn't say it. But later, they showed us this past week. They said, we told each other, you draw what you saw, and I'll draw what I saw. We'll see if it was the same. Exactly the same thing they drew. They literally saw the glory and light of God all the way around me. And you know what I told them? It freaked them out. I said, it's not because I'm special. I said, what you didn't realize is the glory of God was on you just the same way. God was just letting you see. And see, that's when you talk about where Paul talks about in Corinthians when he says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Christianity is faith in the presence and power and reality of God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that he was, but that he is and will evermore be, that he is powerful. That's why I don't even comprehend the Christians and the churches that say he doesn't heal anymore, he doesn't speak to people anymore, or the gifts are not for us anymore. I don't even understand that, because God is sheer living power. He is life itself. Anything in the universe, listen, scientists don't understand the power that holds atoms together. They don't understand the powers, all kind of different powers in the universe. I mean, it's funny. They call some things dark energy and dark matter and the God particle. That's one name they call stuff they don't understand. But the Bible's always said, Jesus said, he is before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together by the word of his power. God, our God, is a powerful, the most powerful being in the universe, beyond the universe, beyond our imaginations. Now, doesn't it stand to reason that if we are his people and we are his children through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been born from above, and we've been regenerated, as the Bible says, and we have passed from death to life, from darkness to light. Doesn't it make sense that once in a while, at least, we ought to encounter his glory and his presence and his power so much that we're in tears, that we're shaking, that we find ourselves on the floor, on our face. That people around us go, something is different about you. I see something different about you. I remember one of my best friends that I grew up with from elementary school. And we grew up drinking and smoking dope and doing drugs and partying all the time. And I remember when I left college, and I remember one of the last times right before I left, he and I hung out together. Right before I left, we went to Arkansas when I really got saved and gave my life to Jesus and was transformed and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the glory of God came in my life and upon my life, and I really repented and turned from all my sin. I remember I was there for about a year almost. And I came back here to Opelika, and I went to his house first thing. I got here. As a matter of fact, it was November the 1st. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was November the 1st, 1987. And I got back here, slept for a little while, got up, went over to his house. A bunch of us got together because we hadn't seen each other in a long time, played basketball, cut up, did the things we used to do, except, you know, they had a cooler full of beer getting ready to drink, and I wasn't touching it. But here's what he said. His name was Craig. Here's what he said later when he got saved. This is how he described it. He said, I knew you. He said, but you look different. He said, your eyes. He said, I could see that it looked like something. And he'd never been to church. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't know Christianese. He goes, it looked like something had cleaned you up on the inside. It looked like light was coming out of your eyes. Your face looked different. He said, we had heard that you had given your life to Jesus, and we mocked and laughed about it. He goes, but when I saw you, and what he saw was the glory of God shining. He saw the life of God shining through you. Couldn't deny it. He had seen the old being with the eyes full of sin and full of death and destruction of my soul that was being destroyed by sin and the devil. That's what he knew, the dirty, the unclean, the darkness that ruled my life. But folks, when God comes in and the blood of Jesus washes you clean and the Holy Spirit comes in, you're supposed to be different. Something different should shine through your eyes. And it's the glory of God. It's real, you guys. It's real. It's tangible. There have been times, and I'm sharing this with you, there were times I remember preaching, different times, especially preaching at Tutwiler Prison, the state prison here in Alabama for women. And I remember preaching there, and the glory of God coming on me so strong that people around me couldn't even get near me, couldn't even walk beside me because the glory of God would just knock them down and knock them out. I've seen the glory of God. Is it because I'm special? No, I believe any Christian that loves God with all of their heart, that hates sin with a passion, that wants to do Jesus' will, they may not be perfect. They may not do everything perfect. Doesn't mean you'll never sin. But you hate sin, you don't want to do it, and you're walking all you can do to walk against the flesh and against the devil and against the culture and this world system, and you want Jesus, I promise you that the Lord will come along, that the Holy Ghost will come along, the comforter, the helper, the teacher, the guide will come along and empower you. The only reason there's a lack of power in the church is because there is a lack of hunger for holiness and purity and to walk with Jesus in obedience. There, if we could ever get that across, there would be no lack of his presence. That's why God said he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Imagine that. Right? I know I'm just flying off the cuff here, not even turning to these scriptures. But there's so many instances in the Bible. Let's look at a few for just a second, just to see what happens when the glory of God shows up. Well, let's just see. Goodness, let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, one of my favorites. Now, some people will say, well, now you're going to start in the Old Testament. Yes, I am, because I believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, right? But here's the thing. Here's what the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 8. Here's what the book of Hebrews tells us that we have now in the new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. It even talks about that the glory of the old covenant doesn't even compare to the glory of the new covenant, right? It's greater glory here that once Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed his sinless, spotless blood and became our sacrifice, our perfect sacrifice, there was no need for the blood of bulls and goats anymore. There was no need for a Passover lamb to be slain. He became the perfect sacrifice. The God-man laid down his life to break the power of sin and to open the door again for the people to come in, for people to come in and be cleansed and be able to experience the presence and power of God in their life. But look in this Old Testament story. God directs David to build a temple that he said his son will build it. And so they build the temple, and he obeys. Solomon does it according to everything that God had instructed his father how to do it. And here's what it says. Let's read 2 Chronicles 5. Are you there? Go to verse 13. And the priests and the Levites came with their instruments. And verse 13, it says, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. We sing these songs like this morning about the glory of God filling the house. And some people will say, you know, some preachers will say, oh, yeah, well, you know, the Bible promises where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Listen, there's two different things we have to understand about the presence of God. God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere all the time. But there is a difference between his omnipresence and when he manifests his presence somewhere. I guess a good way to say it is, in their oxygen in the air, what do hospitals do for people who really need a dose of oxygen? They concentrate the pure stuff in one spot, in a tank, in their nose, right? Well, that's the best way, is to give you a little example. Yes, God's presence is everywhere, but when he chooses to intensify it and magnify it in a place, in a person, that's called what the Bible calls God manifesting his glory. Amen? And that's what happened here. They obeyed God's directions. They built the temple just like he told them to build it. And when the priests and the Levites got in there and they were praising and worshiping God, it said the glory of the Lord filled that place in a different way in a special way, so strong that the priest could not even keep standing up. It doesn't say that they chose to kneel down. It says they could not stand up to ministry. Could not different than they knelt down. Right? Let's go to the New Testament. Y'all with me for a minute here? Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Are y'all there? Now, this is when Stephen, you know, the apostles took seven men and ordained them to be the first deacons, basically the first helpers in the church. And it said Stephen was a mighty man of God and did great signs and wonders among the people. And, of course, the religious people couldn't stand it. And so they take hold of Stephen, and Stephen begins to preach. And basically, Stephen, as he's before the Sanhedrin, he's before these religious leaders who hold, you know, life and death in their hands for him at this moment. He stands before them and he preaches the whole, basically, almost the whole Old Testament story of the history of the Jews. He let them know he was no dummy. He knew the Word of God. And he talks about that and says, as he was preaching, let's go on down. He talks about Solomon building the house. Are y'all with me? Trying to see how much of this we're going to read. Oh, there's so much here. I'm looking for the part here where it says his face shone like an angel. Where is it? In the beginning, that's right. It's at the end when they begin to stone him that he sees the glory. Six. Ah. Is it chapter six? Yes. Verse 15. That's right. Yes. Look at verse, oh, we'll start there. Verse 13. Well, let's back up to verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they summoned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the elders of the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So basically, his face, I believe, shone or something changed about his face that showed forth the glory of God. And they didn't know how to explain it any other way than it looked like an angel. And what happened every time an angel appeared? Light from heaven, right? So here's Stephen, God's glory manifests on him. Now, God allowed him to be the first martyr of the church. But still, the glory of God was on him, and it was a witness to him, and it was also a man standing there that it shook, and that was Paul, the Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. You say, Pastor Dean, how do you know that that glory shook this man who hated the church and hated Christians and only wanted to put people in jail? Because when Jesus appeared to him, Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That means that Paul was kicking against the Holy Spirit conviction and bothering. See, from the time I believe that he saw the glory of God and heard what Stephen said and he saw the power come on Stephen, he couldn't explain it because his theology was wrong and he was so zealous about his theology, but he was in this conflict between seeing the glory of God on a man who was preaching a different thing than what he had been taught. But he saw the glory of God. And then, of course, if you go to chapter 9, you see another manifestation of God's glory. In verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And look at this right here. This is the glory of God manifesting in a place powerfully, visually. It says here, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. People think it's odd that people fall out in church sometimes, or people fall on the floor. I've never found that odd. You know why? Because it's in the Bible. Novel thing there, isn't it? It's in the Bible. The glory of God shows up, people fall down. The glory of God shows up, people shake. The glory of God shows up, some people seem as though they're drunk because it's hard for them to stand because the body cannot take the intensity sometimes of the manifestation of the glory of God. You know what? That's okay. I know a lot of people that need to be laid out on the floor in the glory of God. Maybe they have changed their attitude. And that's what it took for the doctoral theologian Saul of Tarsus. It took the glory of God to knock him to the ground. Listen, folks, why am I saying this? There's a lot of people like Saul of Tarsus who aren't going to get saved, who aren't going to be delivered from their theological error and their deception and their zeal, but their zeal that's not according to knowledge. They're not going to be delivered from it unless they encounter the power and the glory of God. And let me just say that 9 times out of 10, that God wants them to encounter that power and that glory through you. Amen? That's what happened with Stephen. God used Stephen to shake Saul to begin a work of conviction and drawing, but then God had to come and let his glory shine from heaven and knock Saul of Tarsus or Paul to the ground. Look what it says, and he fell to the earth, verse 4. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, look at this, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So the glory of God comes in, and guess what again we see? People falling to the ground, shaking. But getting converted, getting saved. You know, I think a lot of people think they're Christians, but they've never encountered the glory of God. The greatest disservice the church has done to people to make them think they're saved because they said a little prayer instead of convincing them they're saved when they repent and make Jesus Lord and when they have the witness of the Holy Spirit in them that they're saved. You know what? I can't tell you if you're saved or not. You have to know that. You have to know that you've made Jesus Lord, that you've repented of your sin, that the glory of God has come in you and you've been born again. If you hadn't had that happen, you're not saved. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care if you've been baptized 10 times. I don't care if you sing in the choir. I don't care how many church roles you're on. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Charismatic, or Roman Catholic. It doesn't matter. If you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, turn from your sin and had an encounter with the glory of God, you are not born again. You are a professing Christian. You are a dead, empty shell. You have an outward appearance of godliness or Christianity, but you don't have the power that's transformed your life. And then if you have, Christian, and you have been born again, then God says something else. He says you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in your overflow. You need to be speaking in tongues. You need to be healing the sick and casting out devils and in prayer meetings and in worship services and witnessing to people and letting the power manifest through you. And if you get dry and you get dull, then it's time to fast and pray until the glory of God comes back on you. It's time to repent until the glory of God comes back on you. Let me read it. Go to Acts chapter 3. Oh, we need the glory of God. We need anointed people. Acts chapter 3. We have Peter's second recorded sermon after the church was born. Verse 11, he says, "And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together under them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered and said to the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him, Jesus that is, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. All now, brethren, I want that you through ignorance did this, as it did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled.'" Now listen to what he says here, verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he will send Jesus Christ, which was before was preached unto you." This is so important. Repent. Repent means change your mind, change the way you think, and change your actions. Turn from sin. Turn from laziness. Turn from selfishness. Turn from lukewarmness. And if you do that, times of refreshing. I love what the word in the Greek here means, times of refreshing or reviving. This is a revival verse here. Sheree, you're a nurse. Who needs to be revived? People who are dead or what? Dying, right? You know, some folks are dead and dying and they just need, you know, CPR. Other ones have to be shot. There's a lot of people dying right now in churches, not just in the world. They're dying spiritually. They're dying emotionally and even physically. They're dying because they are not encountering the glory and the presence of God. because their church has taught them it's not for today, or they've taught them it's okay to live in sin and you'll still go to heaven, or you can be lukewarm and God won't spit you out of his mouth, and all these lies that people believe. Or, you know what, you don't need the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Spirit when you were saved. Funny. I think Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. There's more. Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, but God said, go and wait. I'm going to send a man. You're going to be baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, if getting saved was enough, Jesus and the Bible wouldn't have said there's more. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Oh, there's so many more. The glory of God. You got to be hungry. See, let me tell you what happened at Mount Zion. And I want you to do this, brother. I want you to queue up. And I want us to watch Allison Moore. We'll find him on YouTube. Before we leave this morning, some of you haven't seen this. Some of you have. And if you have, you need to see it again. But what happened in revival? God's people repent. When God's people pray, when God's people get hungry and thirsty, when God's people get filled with the glory and presence of God, here's what happens. Things start changing. Compromised, lukewarm Christians get on fire for God. They turn off the TV and they start praying in tongues and weeping before God for the lost people around them. Some of us, it's not TV. We turn, set the phone down. Shut the computer. The old saints used to say they loved the sweet hour of prayer. Most Christians now don't even have 5 minutes a day. Folks, I want you to see this, because when the glory of God, you got to remember, Brownsville Assembly of God, prior to 1995, the summer of 1995, was already a good church. They had a good pastor. They were a good church. But according to the testimony of Pastor John Kilpatrick, who had been the pastor there for 14 years before the revival happened, according to him, he was dying on the inside. He knew there had to be more. He said, we had some good services. We'd have a few people get saved. We would have somebody get healed. He said, but you could just tell there was so much more. We weren't getting there. And he was so discouraged. He was so frustrated. But he began to encourage his church 2 years before the revival happened to start praying for revival, to start praying for God to move, to get hungry for something more than what you have. Listen, the worst thing a Christian can do is settle for where they are. I don't understand not wanting more of God, more truth, more revelation, more understanding, more anointing, more glory, more power, more ability to see people saved and healed and delivered. I don't understand wanting to sit in a pew and rot away and die. Don't understand. The people of God should be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling in Christ Jesus? I believe it's John 14:12, and he said, the works that I do, whoever believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do. That's amazing to me. I want you to see how God touched this teenage, college-age girl, Allison Ward, and I've met her. I went to this revival many, many days, many, many nights. A friend of mine was the children's pastor there, so this is not something that I talk about as if I don't know about it. I went there sometimes weekly. Sometimes I would leave on Wednesday night after prayer and not come back till Saturday and stay at this revival because the glory of God was so strong and the anointing and glory was so different. And the power of God was falling, and people were repenting and weeping and praying for hours, and sinners were coming from the community and all over the world, and backsliders and prodigals and all kind of people were coming to this church because the presence of God was there, and people were getting saved, and they were repenting of sin, and they were just, it was amazing to watch. I mean, I had prayed, I had read about revival history, I had prayed for revival, I had seen many moves of God in my own life and ministry, but this was beyond. And this happened in the beginning of the revival, so I want y'all to watch this. Is this the right here? All right, brother, crank it up. Yeah, there's always a technical problem when you want to do something. YouTube will work every time until it's in church.
When you see someone like this, and you just make a snap judgment, and you see someone doing something like this, you may say, oh, man, you know, what's going on? But I'll tell you, this girl, she's a brilliant girl. Her mother's a school teacher. Her father's a doctor, medical doctor. And these girls have been raised in Brownsville Sunday. I know their life, and they're godly girls. But God, during this revival, has gotten a hold of them. And her sister is Elizabeth that's given her testimony on television and here on Friday night in the church. And this is Allison. And God uses her, comes time to call and things like that. He uses her in intercession. And you'll see her back there really under the power of the Holy Spirit beginning to intercede for lost souls. And she's never done anything like this. I've known her for many years. I've known these girls since they were little girls. I mean, like this, I've known them. I've been their pastor. I know beyond any doubt whatsoever that these girls are being moved on by God's Spirit. And Allison, if you can, sweetheart, would you take just a moment and just share what the Lord's doing in your life and what's going on?
Okay. I'm 19 years old, and I've been through high school, and I'm in college now, and at the beginning of this revival, I didn't come for the first week. I was like everyone else. I wasn't so sure about it, and church had always been kind of just a requirement anyway. So it was the second Sunday of this revival that I came to the night service, and Steve preached on. I have a verse for it. It's in Matthew 6, 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And what Steve preached about that night was, you cannot hold on to the hand of God and onto the hand of the world at the same time. And all through high school and college, I've known God. Well, God has had a place in my heart, but He didn't really have a place in my life. And I never thought that God had anything to offer other than just sitting at church. And I've never given Him a chance to do anything in my life. So I was constantly running after the world. I was running after what I thought I had something that the world would give me. But whenever I heard that, what Steve preached, my eyes were open. Like Steve preached last night, Satan, he blinds us. And I was blinded by worldly things that I thought I had to have and worldly friends that I thought I had to have. And all it took to totally change my life was for me to listen and really hear what these people, these men of God, are trying to say, what God is trying to say. You know, the Bible says people, they have ears to hear, but they don't hear what people are trying to say, what God is trying to say to them. And I listened that night, and God totally opened my eyes. You know, he changed my whole life. I was terribly depressed because I had enough of God in me to know what I was doing was wrong and to be miserable doing it. And I was in a horrible condition you could be in. God said himself, he'd rather spit you out of his mouth than have you be lukewarm, because you're no good to anybody unless you're hot or cold. So I'm hot now. To me the first week of the revival. And like they say, you don't have to search after the manifestation. The manifestation is on me now, but it wasn't for a long time. I came to lots of meetings and I got prayed for, and I never felt anything physically happen, but my whole life was transformed. And now God's giving me the gift of intercession. He's allowed me to feel, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to feel just part of the pain that he feels whenever people don't listen to him. I've realized that the Holy Spirit, he's here. He's waiting on all of us. What time even of our heart to want him, he'll come in and change your whole life, change everything.
Whatever this is on you, Allison, you don't have a pain, do you?
No, it's not painful at all.
No, seriously, whenever someone sees someone like this, that's manifesting the Spirit of the Lord, they think they're under pain or they're under duress. But it's not like that at all. Tell me what it's like.
Well, there's two different times with me. Like right now, I think the glory of God is so strong up here, my body just can't really take it. And that's why I'm doing this. But there's other times whenever I come into God's presence and I don't move at all, but inside me, like, there's just waves of God inside of me. And then there's other times whenever I'm interceding, and it's not painful to my body, but it's painful in my heart, because I know that God loves people so much, and he's in a hurry. He wants everyone. He wants more time. He grieves.
Thank you. the word of the Lord preached tonight. No one can add to it or take away from it. If you're in this building tonight and you're away from God, there's sin in your life and you know it, you need to come back to Jesus. I want you to get up from where you're at and come to these altars right now. Don't wait on anybody else. Get up and come. You need to run to Jesus right now. Get up and come right now. Get up and come right now. You're away from the Lord. I want you to come right now. Get up right now. Up in the balcony. You need Jesus to forgive you, to wash you, to cleanse you. You're spiritually dead. Get up and come right now, y'all. Get up and come right now. Get up and come. This is the message tonight. This preacher is not going to preach. This was the message tonight. It's rarely happened to obey God. We obey God. Now get up and come.
So this is what we're going to do. Y'all stand this morning. You know, the Bible's very clear. We have not because we ask not. And this morning, what we're going to do for a few minutes is we're going to pray. Before we do anything else, I want everybody to take a few minutes, and we're going to just put the song on that they used to play at the altar call there, and we're going to put it on. And I want everybody in this room to take a few moments this morning to ask for the glory of God, to heal your life, your home, your church, the community, because that's what we need. So let's just pray as a church together. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you today and we pray, Lord, for the glory. We pray for the glory, your glory to come down. God, forgive us. God, we've sinned. We have compromised. We've settled for so little of you. Lord, we ask for your glory to fill us. Lift up your voice to us. We need you, Lord. Fire!
fire of the Holy Ghost, glory of God. Fill, anoint my sister. Lord Jesus, fire, glory, help. Let your glory fill till life is flowing out of every pore. Jesus' name, Lord. Glory, 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 fire. Holy Ghost, we need your glory. We need your glory. We need your glory. More, more, more.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for your glory, Lord. Glory, your fire and glory. Oh, Jesus, I'm praying for the fire, the power, and the glory to fill my brother in a new way, a time of refreshing. Lord, I thank you for refreshing me. I thank you, Lord. Brother, the Lord wants me to tell you there's a burden that he's lifting off of you right now. I have no idea what it is. But the word burden, he said there's a burden he's lifting off of you. There's going to be a new peace and a new joy, a new strength, physical healing in your body. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name, Lord, for physical healing. Physical healing, God. Lord, you know what needs to be healed in my brother. Lord, let healing power flow. Let healing power flow. Jesus, you came to heal. By your stripes, we were healed. You bought and paid for it. Believers, you said, would lay hands upon the sick and they would recover. So, Lord, I pray for healing. Physical healing, my brother. From head to toe, Lord, head to toe. And whatever this burden is, Lord, I thank you, you're lifting a burden off of him and bringing into his heart and his mind a time of refreshing, a time of peace, a time of rest in his mind and in his heart. Lord, I thank you. A new thing. You know, the thing about it is, brother, at times we're all living in our old peace and our old thinking and our old glory, and God wants to give us new glory. So I feel that for you, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, I thank you, Lord. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost continue to fill this young man and work mightily in his life. Holy Ghost, fire, power. Lord, let the prophetic revelation, the prophetic word, the prophetic vision, let the prophetic gift be stirred up and flow up out of this young man. Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, for a refreshing. God, I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, a fresh baptism of fire, a fresh baptism of glory right now for my sister. A new thing, Lord. A new anointing. A new courage. A new boldness. A new level of faith. A new level. God, you take her to a new level. Marlene, the Lord is saying to tell you, he says, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it will spring forth in your life.
you will find a new courage, a new faith, a new boldness, a new anointing. You will marvel in the days of heaven. You look back at how you used to think and how you used to act and how you used to believe. You will marvel at the glory of God in the time of refreshing, in a time of power. The Lord says for me to tell you the days of timidity, the days of holding back, the days, those days are over. He's taking you into a new realm of boldness, a new realm of fire, a new realm of courage in all aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believing that you can do it. Thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I pray for my brother, Lord. I pray for a fresh fire in his life, Lord. I thank you for the mighty work he's been doing. And Andy, Lord, I pray for fire. God, the Holy Ghost fire. I pray for a great impartation of the Holy Ghost. Power, fire, unction, anointing, filling, Lord, to overflow, to fulfill his purpose, the plan you have for him, the calling upon his life. The Lord says for me to tell you there is a gift of intercession upon you. There's a gift of intercession to pray in the Spirit, to stand in the gap, to stand between the devil and people, and to be that person to bridge them between to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my wife, who needs refreshing and encouragement physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, touch her with your glory. Fill her with a new level of your glory and presence. Lord, I just break off every demonic stronghold that's been hindering her from experiencing your presence and your glory. I rebuke those forces. I bind those demons. I break the power of my heart. I command them to go. In Jesus' name, lose our spirit, soul, and body to be free, to be filled, no hindrance. More, Lord. Lord, let her be filled with the encouragement, God, that she does hear from you. She does discern and walk in the Spirit. No matter what she feels or doesn't feel, Lord, you speak to her constantly. You reveal things constantly. The gifts are constantly working in her life. Encourage her, Lord. Jesus. John, would you come up here? Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for an encounter. For an encounter with the power of the Holy Ghost in John's life, Lord, that you would touch him, that you would feel him, that you would manifest your glory and conviction like you did to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. You would shake his heart and mind and his whole world. As you would just shake him, Lord. Lord, I pray that you reveal yourself to John in a new and powerful way. And you would give him a clear revelation of your will and direction for his life, even now. That he would have that encounter, Lord. That glory, that power, that anointing, that people would look at him and see life and light and power of Jesus flowing out of his eyes and his heart. And out of his mouth, and that he would not use his eyes or his mouth or his heart for anything of darkness, but only for you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for that anointing and that fire. Jesus. John, the Lord wants me to give you this verse
As soon as much is given, much is required. And the Lord has given you the grace, the favor, to be in a church since you were a little, since you were a boy, that taught you the Word of God, that taught you the truth. You have a mom that loves Jesus. He's been given much. Many, many people, many young people don't have any of it. And the Lord would say, to whom much is given, much is required. And He says for me to tell you, He's not going to allow you to just slip and slide around on the fringes. You will be held accountable for what you know, what you've learned, and what God has given you. And you will be held accountable for it even at this age, because you know He's made you smart. He's made you able to not only understand what you hear in the Word of God, but to be able to repeat it and to share it. And it is a gift from heaven. And it is not to be taken lightly. Don't take anything from God lightly. All the rest of the kids come up here. I want to pray for all of you. The Lord will bless you. Amen. Lord, I pray right now for all of the children in this church. Lord, that you'll bless them, that you'll protect them and put your hand upon them, that you'll anoint them, that Holy Ghost, you'll fill them even at a young age and move mightily in their lives and protect them from evil and from harm and from evil people. Lord, I pray over these children and I bless them in the name of Jesus. God, that you'll do a work in them, Lord. You know what each one needs, Lord, far better than I do, far better than anybody. Lord Jesus, I ask you to reveal yourself to them, God. I ask you to fill them with your glory and your fire and your power, your Holy Spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I ask you to cover and shield them and protect them. And I ask you, Lord, to mightily use them for your glory and your kingdom. Father, I pray for more, 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 God, in each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, even the ones not here today, Lord, the teenagers, God, even little Luke, we pray for these children to be blessed, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be covered by the fire and power of God, Lord, to put angels around them and protect them from evil and harm. Lord, we pray over them in Jesus' name. We bless them in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus right now. Lord, I thank you for them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Huh? Yeah, we forgot about Kevin, didn't we? Come on out here, Kevin. Let's do something to you, Kevin. I just want to say something in front of the church because, you know, don't think I think Kevin's perfect or anything, because I know he's not. But I want to tell you something, though. Everybody in this church needs to just appreciate Kevin's faithfulness. He's faithful. He's a hard worker. He certainly does a lot for our church and for us. And he loves the Lord, and he's hungry for God's glory. So y'all don't forget to pray for him, because he goes through a lot, and we dump a lot on him, too. But pray for him, all right? But we're going to pray, because I know this brother's hungry for God, he's hungry for revival, and I think if we all get hungry like that, we'll have it. Amen. So, Father, I just pray for my brother right now, Lord, for the impartation of the Holy Ghost, for the fire and the power of the Brownsville revival to come into his life and upon this church and upon this whole community, Lord. We're praying for another Brownsville revival. We're praying for another outpouring of the Spirit beyond even that, beyond what we could ask or think, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, because in revival history, every revival is connected to the one previous before it, Lord. So I pray in the name of Jesus that we can be, Lord, than Elisha to the Brownsville Elijah revival. Lord, we pray that you move, and I pray you'll use my brother and refresh him and fill him and give him the desire of his heart to be in revival, fire, and power, to be used mightily. And the Lord says you will be used in a prayer team. You will be praying through a crowd of people. The glory of the Lord will flow through you as you lay hands upon people and pray for people. Be faithful. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in fasting. Don't let anything darken or defile your heart or your spirit. The Lord says the glory and the fire will flow through you. The desires of your heart will be revealed and be made manifest. Your faithfulness has been seen before heaven. The Lord wants me to tell you, he that is been faithful in the little things will be made ruler over much. And there's nothing more important than having the glory and power flowing through your life. That's what he gives you. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Whew. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is a Sunday the Lord is saying to us, press in. Press into the new. Press into a new glory, a new anointing, a new time, a new season of refreshing and power in him. That's what he wants. And if you press into it, each of you, when you come to church on Sunday morning, that comes with you. That glory, and then every joint will supply what the church needs. You'll be the prayer warrior that's needed during the week. Amen? Woo! I feel that. We're going somewhere, y'all. People are getting saved. Truth is going forth. There's still a demonic hindrance. There's a huge demonic power that hinders people from coming to this church. But the word, the devil can't stop the word that's going forth from us. And soon that word and that anointing and that power is going to break through, and they're going to finally realize, you know what, the truth that I'm hearing and the power that I'm feeling and the deliverance that I'm feeling, I probably need to go to that church. They're going to figure it out sooner or later. But I say that, I don't say that because I care whether how big a church we are, and I promise you we'll never buy a building and have a building program. All right? I hate that. I will never do that. But I can tell you this much. I know God wants people in here learning the truth. I know he wants people growing in the truth. I know there are people that need deliverance. They need healing. You know, and just to give you a little testimony, a couple of weeks ago, you know, Thomas Cole's girlfriend, Katie, that y'all will meet soon, was in a car accident, hurt her back. She came anyway. So this is why you need to go to church and why you need to go to Bible studies and why you need to go to prayer meetings, because stuff happens. She came to Bible study anyway, her back hurting. You know what? At the end of Bible study, we prayed for her in Jesus' name. And you know what she told us this last week? The pain left and never came back. Amen? That's why you go to church. That's why you need to get together. That's why you need to be in prayer meetings and Bible studies and church service. Because stuff happens. You never know what's going to happen. I've never understood why people take going to church lightly. Come see, come saw, whatever, you know. So, whatever. Whatever happens, happens. C'est la vie. Whatever. Really? I can't tell you how many times I knew certain people were supposed to be in church on a certain day because God was going to do something. And they didn't show up. It's sad. Devil 101 will try to keep you from Jesus. I'm getting saved. Second thing, he'll try to keep you from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And third thing, he's going to try to keep you from church. From meetings with people where the power of God could touch your life or where you could learn something you need to know. You know, and I've told y'all something. If I went by how many times I didn't get sleep on Sunday night or Saturday night and Sunday morning, how many times I didn't have any sleep, how many times I felt so sick I could hardly move because the devil was attacking me. I was having demonic forces against me, so nauseated. I've driven to church more times than I can tell you, so nauseated I feel like throwing up. Because there's a war to get to church, even for the pastor. I know there's a war that keeps that for you to get to church. But I'm going to tell you, God wants us to come together. I'm not the one who said don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I'm not the one that said the church needs to come and every joint supplies something when they come together. I'm not the one that said, hey, when you meet, I'll be there and stuff will happen. Amen? Amen. You never know. You never know. When you're maybe most discouraged and most depressed, if that's a Sunday God's going to give you a prophetic word, or that's a Sunday his presence is going to touch you in a special way, or God's going to speak to you in a special way and encourage you. I just don't understand taking that lightly. And I'm going to say this to you. What y'all don't understand about that, there are certain days that God's going to do certain things. And if you miss it, you missed it. You're not getting it back. That day is not back. It's gone. So don't take your prayer time lightly. Don't take church lightly. Don't take Bible studies lightly, prayer meetings lightly. Don't take these things lightly. There's a day coming, folks, where there are many people going to wish they'd come to church. They're going to wish they could find a preacher to tell them the truth. They're going to wish they had a prayer meeting to go to. We take this stuff for granted. But it's the means in which God uses. I promise you, if God hadn't said start a church, and if it wasn't biblical to start churches, I wouldn't have done it. God has a reason for his local church. And it's important for you to take it seriously. Amen? And I know most of you do. But I'm just saying, the devil always comes in. It's no big deal. Oh, I'm just tired. I ain't going to go. Well, that's pathetic. I'm 46 years old. I'm tired a lot. Some of these people with more white hair than me are tired too. Hey, right down to it. But it's I don't know. That's just I'm just saying. We take things lightly. That's why I love the end of that song that Linda was singing this morning. Nothing more important than you, Lord. And church is part of that. Right? Fellowship is part of that. Prayer is part of that. Corporate prayer, getting together to pray is part of that. Studying the Bible together is part of that. Worshiping together. Hearing, preaching, and teaching together. That's part of the kingdom of God. You know, one day we're going to have to do all that. We'll just be with Jesus. But now we have to. Now we need it. Amen? All right. Enough exhortation for the day. We need to take up the offering this morning and close out. Praise God. Wow. And we're not even, it's not even 1 o'clock yet. We're doing good. You know I love y'all, and I pray for each one of you a lot. And I know the devil attacks you in different ways with different things. And I know sometimes it's rough weeks. I know that. But just know, your pastor and your pastor's wife, you can know this. We love y'all very, very much, and we pray fervently that you will break through, that you will grow, that you will win in this battle against the devil, that you'll make it to heaven. That's our concern more than anything else. It's not, I'm not trying to build a kingdom or build an empire or get rich. I want you to be strong Christians. I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know the Word of God for yourself. I want you to be strong, and I want you ultimately, I want you all to make it to heaven. That's what I want. Amen. Brother Billy, would you pray over the offering this morning?
And more so we offer our time. But let this day not end. Let this feeling, let this anointing, let the presence of you in our lives not end when we walk through these doors. Lord, we can have that very glory, that very presence of you in our lives. Each and every day, not just for these four walls, but wherever we go, that you be blessed from every breath and step we take and glorify your name.
So
it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you take up the offering for me? Well, hallelujah. Well, I hope the Lord spoke to each of you in some way this morning. Do you love the Lord? Hey, let's stand. Let's sing this. Yes. Praise you. Let's worship him for a minute before we go. Let's worship the Lord. Cast, we appreciate you being with us. Let us know you're out there. God bless you.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.